What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I'm Jack Allen. Go follow me at Kojak Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to support the show, Patreon, Venmo, whatever. You know how to do it. I got my links in the show notes. So today's episode, it was a last-minute Hail Mary, and luckily my good friend Brian was able to fill in a spot. Mr. Billy, he's hard at work in school, taking a final. Just, it didn't work out tonight. So Brian was nice enough to grace me with his presence. And Brian's an awesome guy. We disagree on some things, but we agree on the large percentage of the important things. And so Brian and I, we talk a little food shortages, media. Brian's a lawyer, so he explained to me like the Roe v. Wade. And so if you're kind of like me and illiterate in law and stuff like that, he helps me understand what's going on with that and a better explanation of how they use it. You'll just listen to him. He'll explain it to you. But yeah, it was a great show, and I'm so thankful he could do it. So go follow Brian on his Twitter account. He's never been on Twitter before, at Brian. Oh, wait, let me just get his exact thing for us. So I say it. Oh, at BJ Calls BS, and you can go check him out there. And that's it, guys. So I am Jack Allen. I'm going to be live tomorrow at 8 p.m. with the Reality Czars podcast. And so I think it's kind of like a swap cast, but I think they're kind of leading it. So I don't know the topics, but I'm excited to do it with them. So that'll be fun. So if you're bored tomorrow and you want to hang out, 8 p.m. Eastern time, I'll be live on our YouTube here. And that's it. So, oh, and next week I'm continuing with Operation Phoenix, and I read and I do the notes. So I've gotten it's getting even crazier and crazier. So we're really going to go into, you'll see all these patterns and the same tactics they used on these poor people in Vietnam, they're using on us today. It's undeniable. It's the same exact moves, and it is crazy. So just helps us understand what's going on today even more. So I'm Jack Allen, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. Thanks for listening, guys. Love you. God bless. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. If not, have a wonderful 4th of July. And that's it. Peace. All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. So today I have a special guest who saved me in my time of need. Brian, what's up? How are you doing? Thanks for coming, dude.
Jack, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Hello, too. It's a thrill to be on the Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence podcast, the number one historical conspiracy podcast on the internet. And, you know, I think today we'll probably talk about try to figure out some current events and stuff. But yeah, pleasure to be here, man. It's a, you know, we've done this before under different names, different accounts, but good to see you again, man.
Dude, I think we've known each other now, at least 2 years, though. We started talking quite some time. It's crazy where time goes. So much has changed. So many Twitter accounts, everything's changed.
Twitter accounts being the least of what's changed. it's constant change over everything all the time. And nothing's ever resolved anymore. Have you noticed that? Like, it's just one, and I think it's by design, but it's one crisis after another. Oh. Boom, boom, boom. Nothing ever gets resolved. Like, I mean, ships are getting...
Do you think that is a... See, I only started paying attention when things got crazy. So you've been paying attention longer. Is this a new phenomenon, do you think? Or is it maybe now hyper sensitized because, you know, the internet and social media and all that stuff?
I think it's more by design of the puppeteers, the powers that be, you know, the liberal world order, I guess you could say. Ooh, yes. Keep it topical. But I think it's okay. So if you now, I actually want to do a good video about this. If you look at, you ever heard of Yuri Bezmenov?
Yes.
He's a KGB defector who gave an interview series back in the 80s, and he talks about ideological subversion. And that's how communist takeovers happen. Or if you're going to conquer a country, you do it from within. And there's four steps to it. The first two occur over a series of generations, right? And it's demoralization and destabilization, right? And that's turning everything upside down. Are these bugs too loud, by the way?
No, dude, you're fine. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Hey, chat. I can't see the chat, so if they're roasting me for the background noise, no, sorry. It's a beautiful night. We didn't get sprayed with chemtrails today, so I wanted to be outside. it's nice. But, okay, so the first two phases are destabilization and demoralization. And it's, they occur over a series of generations. It's where you, you know, break up the family, destroy religion, invert sexuality, invert gender roles, tax everybody to death, take control of healthcare, all of those ideas, right? You know, get control of the celebrities, get control of academia, all the thought influencers and whatnot. And so those are, that occurs over a series of generations. And then the next phase is called crisis. And, you know, in places like Cambodia and stuff where they did, you know, they did this and it worked. They're not nearly as, they're not as complicated as the United States. But what crisis is that after you, the people, the populace has been nice and demoralized and, the, you know, their systems have been destabilized, you have crisis. And crisis is, it's just a series of one catastrophe, one crisis after the other. Boom, 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 boom. You know, economic, military, social unrest, they all happen all at once. And so then you have the people who are by this time just like fed up with it and then scared shitless. They say, please, government, please, big state, please, you know, big brother, dystopian, you know, communist government, please give us security, right? We the crisis are just too much. And the fourth phase is called normalization. And it basically, it never ends. It's a constant, because then it's just, you know what I mean? Once you basically cede control of reality to the puppeteers. Mm. And so I legitimately think, when you take it back to your question, long way of saying there, I legitimately think we're in the crisis phase. I think it started with 2020, and like you see it with, I mean, whether the, you know, the Mandela virus, you know, the vacations, or God, everything that's going on now, our military withdrawals, and I mean, everything all at once is being thrown on the people. But I don't think we're as far gone as we're supposed to be. But again, to answer your question, I think it's by design, man. I think people pulling the strings are trying to hit us with so much shit all at once, so that we're just like, oh fuck it.
Yeah.
Can't take. I'm not. All right, fine. Here, take our rights. Take our right to privacy, take our Second Amendment, take everything and protect us. So I think that's what's going on.
No, so I never watch. I've seen all the clips of Yuri's. So that was a good overview for me, because I always like, I'll be on Twitter at work and, you know, you can't listen to the clips. So I never, like, I know what he talks about, but I think
he's been dead. He's dead. I don't know if the YouTube videos are still available, but it's.
Well,
it's,
I always see like the clips on Twitter, but I think, you know, and whether, I mean, he's absolutely right though. You can't tell me that, like, everything that's happened, especially in America, like policy decisions, foreign aid, all this stuff, no decision has ever been made that benefits the people. Like, so it has to be by design, because like, you know what I mean? Like, there would be an accident where, oh, that worked out for us, but it never works out. You know,
it never works out, and it's never resolved. Nothing, like, again, nothing's ever, like, and that's, it's, we're beyond like a corrupt, Democrat media, left-leaning media. We're like beyond that. We're like, they're complicit in a lot of this. They're not like the whole, and I mean the media, the banking system, they're all set up so that, like, they've spent like the past however many hundreds of years consolidating power, but really the past 20 years since, you know, 9/11, I feel like, has been like the real big push. They've got consolidating power, and like, even if you have a good intrepid reporter at the New York Times or whatever who wants to be like, well, why are we talking about this bullshit? Let's do some journalism. Let's expose something. Let's report the truth. They're never going to get their shit published. There's so many corrupt people ahead of them, and their editors are corrupt. And so they're just flushed out, and then they don't ever work again. So you've got a bunch of people who are deliberately trying to obfuscate reality. You like that word? Obfuscate reality. And then you have just a bunch of yes men who, like, get paid really well and want to do their job, who are feeding it to us. But I mean, the past 2 years, man, shit's been wild, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just, and even like you wanted to talk about today, food shortages, inflation's out of control. Like, there's so many different fronts we're being hit on. The horrible, awful Ukraine war. Right. You know, it's just like enough. Like, and even like, you know, just a whole lot of stuff being thrown at us right now.
Well, I like what you said about the paper. In the one book I read, J.P. Morgan in like 1912 or 22, one of those, he like asked, how do I control? And he found out that there was like 39 papers or something. And he where he had somebody say, how many does he need to control public opinion? They said like 16 of them. So he went out, he bought 16 of the papers, made the staff, and that was it, dude. And then he controlled the press. And so that's so when people like struggle believing that, oh, the press is all liars. Well, they don't need to all be liars. Yeah. You just need the key people in key positions, and you'll die. You won't be able to get an honest story out.
Right. And you hire people who, like, you know, I feel like in the mainstream, there's no more real journalists. I feel like they're all just green screen actors. So you just hire people who don't have, who are more like followers and don't really care about the mission, you know,
right.
These zealots. Now we're seeing so many zealots being hired everywhere. Like, you see that picture of, again, I try not to like focus or get caught up on whatever the social media horseshit du jour is, but did you see the picture the other day of like our new deputy?
I knew you were going to go.
Fierce looking, beautiful person. Just like, you know what about that? Like, I'm, there's so many things to say about that, but it's like, motherfucker, you're being antagonistic. Like, you're showing, you're dressing extra fierce with your big, oh, here, are we showing it? With your high heels and everything. And it's like, you're not just wanting to be.
It's a wild world.
She went to MIT. Is it she? Yeah. Oh, we need to get banned for this.
MIT?
Yeah. So that's what their thing is. That, of course, they have a beautiful education, highly educated, but a total asshole at the same time. Like, but that's not even a picture, though. The picture is a different one.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't find it quickly. I have it saved on my phone. I was going to post it. And I was like, I don't want to get in. I try to keep it cool on the internet. So I just didn't put it. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like,
but so, and that's another thing. I think a lot of these things are purposely done, even on both sides, like Fox, and they purposely pick these stories that are going to cause outrage, because just like how you said, that fear or whatever, like stage where you're just so afraid. If you have people, if you're constantly in a state of like being on the defensive and you think that these things are going to happen, you're going to be even easier to predict your next move, because you're going to follow like whichever side you're on. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. It's divide and conquer, man.
Right.
It's like, I'll never forget. I remember, I've used this as an example before, but you remember a couple, maybe it was a Christmas, like 2018, 2019. Like this college couple or something, or these graduate students did a remake and an updated version of Baby It's Cold Outside before Christmas. Okay. I don't know. Do you know that song? It's kind of,
yeah, I love that song. Yeah.
It's charming, but he also is kind of rapey, you know what I mean? But whatever. It's you know, he doesn't go through with it. True. He's just highly suggestive.
Yeah.
But of course that's wrong in today's environment. So these two, you know, young, great, idealistic white liberals made a song where it's just like, may I have your consent? Well, you know, like, it was all about, like, are you comfortable now? You know, the dude being a total, like simp, and, you know. but what's funny is, it's like, okay, whatever. They put that out there. Clicks. But both Fox News spent, like, if you watch their afternoon lineup, like, it was all that. That was the lead story. That was a lead story on the great Daily Wire, which we can get into that.
Right.
But like, was the look at this? Look at these liberals that are doing it. You know, the war on Christmas. Kind of like, yeah, it's a war on Christmas, but it's more. It's a lot bigger than that. It's a war on like Christ. You know what it is? A whole lot of, it's so much bigger than that. But you got Fox saying, "Oh my God, this is. Look at this. Look at this to our conservative audience and this song that you grew up with loving. Look what the liberals are doing." And then CNN would run like their reaction to Fox News's reporting on it. So it's like both sides of the media both spent hours of our precious time talking about this total horseshit.
Yeah.
Like a complete, like they, something, what's funny with the news is like, it's all, and this is like social media or this, I don't know how much, this is by design or whatever, but people are so worked up over so many things that will never affect them personally. Like that will never have one iota of bearing on their actual IRL life. Right. Mm. Or I guess that's redundant. IRL. You know, that's internet speak for in real life. But, like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, people get so worked up about it, and it actually, but now we're seeing it. I think, you know, the Roe decision is terrific, or the Roe reversal. And then we can actually talk about that decision too, if you want. I can go from the scholarly angle.
I would love to hear that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, and now gas prices. So like people, all the isms, all the social justice stuff, it's, I guess it does. It all came home to roost real fast though, didn't it? Like all of a sudden people what blinked, and now your school boards are all a bunch of like George Soros pedophile, you know, supporters, or like, you know, people who you just get hit again. It's like I said earlier, you get hit, you're good there. People are getting hit from every single angle. So over here, you're defending critical race theory. And then all of a sudden your daughter's son's second grade teacher is a fucking groomer. And then you're like, wait, I got to deal with that over here now. And it's just, it's constant. But a lot of people get a lot of really emotional about stuff that never really affects them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's unfortunate that, but then like that's the culture that we have. How many there's everybody's talking about it. So I don't know how much shit is really staged, how much isn't staged, but you're never going to get some blue check mark who, you know, whether it's conservative media, liberal media, you're never going to get them to say this is total bullshit. They're going to argue, try to argue like from the side, or argue, right. Ask a bunch of, they love their rhetorical questions. They ask a bunch of rhetorical questions. But I mean, I think it's like you said, man, it's, there's so much shit now. It has to be, we can't chalk up all the nonsense to people being, I made a mistake, or, you know, it is by design. It has to be. And I feel like it would be great if people could kind of look at things, whether it's a mass, you know, one of those. Again, right. I'm trying to help you out here with the box, but like one of those, or any other thing that goes on in our world that we're told to care about. If people could just look at it more objectively and not jump into the finger pointing and jump into the political stuff, and actually look at, and right now I'm actually talking about Uvalde specifically. That's what I'm thinking of. But like, people get the political rhetoric was so fast on that one that it's like, oh no, like, we talking about the facts of this case? Mm. No, we're past that. Doesn't matter.
Well, so since you said facts, so if Brian's a licensed lawyer, so you're a smart guy. So what with the role?
Oh no, that I'm a smart guy and I am a life attorney, but it doesn't, one doesn't mean the other. There's a lot of dumb lawyers.
Yes, I'd agree with that. But so what the role, I mean, obviously that was in the news, and I don't even want to, but like legally, what is going on? So like, it's just going to go back to the states, right? That's basically it. Okay.
Right. The original Roe v. Wade decision, and then its predecessor case, Casey versus Planned Parenthood versus Casey, were basically set up, found that there's something called the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Okay. And it's one of the ways it really was put in there. The 14th Amendment was really put in there in order to, it basically says that no state can, violate equal protection or due process, because it used to, the Constitution before the 14th Amendment really just applied to the federal government. Right. So each state had a very similar constitution in a lot of ways. Most of them had a lot of similar Bill of Rights, slavery obviously being the big difference. Right. So after the Civil War and obviously the Emancipation Proclamation outlawed it in the Confederacy, but Confederacy is over. So they needed to come in and figure out a way so that constitutionally states, you know, could basically a way to make sure that all slaves were now citizens, right? Mm-hmm. And saying that, you know, until the 13th Amendment was, if, you know, all people, that slavery is forever abolished, anybody who was a slave, now you're a citizen, boom. So the 14th Amendment comes in and says no state can now deny any of the citizens of that state something that's constitutional, right? They can't, the Constitution is a limiting document. So they use the 14th Amendment as a way to really get the 13th Amendment in. And the 14th Amendment, the Due Process Clause, was a way. So it started out as a way for civil rights and slavery mostly, but then like a very liberal court in the 50s, 60s, 70s made it about basically saying that all sorts of stuff was you had due process rights. For example, gay marriage is pushed through under the due process clause, substantive due process clause. So it's saying that the Supreme Court is saying that gay marriage, no state can pass laws now denying gay people the right to marry, because marriage that is protected under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because constitutional law is how a lot of it mostly is, does the state have the right to pass this particular law? Does the state? So getting back to the present debate, abortion, the Supreme Court really did the job of legislatures. The Roe decision was all a bunch of like statistics and talking about how horrible it is and all this stuff. And they really didn't say why. There's tests, there's constitutional law tests for looking at this type of stuff. I won't go into that, but they really never said why it is a right, why abortion is a right under the 14th Amendment. They just said it is basically now.
Okay.
And so no state can now pass a law outlawing abortion because it's a constitutional right, protected by the 14th Amendment and imposed on the states via the 14th Amendment. So, for example, birth control. Birth control was a big one.
Do they keep saying that? I don't get what do they say contraceptive. So explain.
Because the legal reasoning behind contraceptive is similar to the legal reasoning abortion
they
is
mean
right.
Legal. It's legal. Is that what they, when they say that? Is that what they mean?
Right now, because of the Supreme Court, it says that states can't outlaw abortion. States can't outlaw birth control.
Okay.
Because it's protected under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. You have women and I guess everybody now who knows has a constitutional right to birth control.
Right.
So states can't pass laws outlawing it. Right. Just like states previously before this recent decision couldn't outlaw abortion.
Got
outright.
It. Okay.
And so because the court uses very kind of wishy-washy idea of the due process clause being applicable to all these different things that, the more liberal forward-thinking folks think is a good thing, right? So they use the Supreme Court as a battering ram to say, we're basically ending the debate on abortion. It's over. It's a constitutional right. We're ending the debate on whether birth control can be given out to young, to 15-year-old girls. It's a constitutional right. There's no more debate on it, so you can't outlaw it. So now that's kind of where they started. So what the big argument is, I assume, is what the people who are freaking out are, it's not so much that the Supreme Court is outlawing birth control, just like it's not outlawing the Roe decision said it's illegal to outlaw abortion. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even if the birth control decision was overturned, I forget the name of it. It's an important one, but I forget off the top of my head. Even if that's overturned, it would still be up to the states to decide whether they want to legislate birth control.
Got it.
And so it's funny is that instead of again, the Roe decision itself was horseshit. It was bad legal reasoning. It's bad, bad, bad. And so with this new decision, which I forget the name of it, that's how interested I am. But if you read it, that's basically the argument for overturning Roe was like, Alito is just like, this is some horseshit. It's based on dumb legal reasoning. And listen, the only reason it's still being adhered to is because of, precedent, P-R-E-C-E-D-E-N-T,
yeah, right.
Precedent. And, you got to follow the previous law. But he's like, hey, if that were the case, we'd still be, separate but equal is constitutional.
Right.
The court, it's our job to look at bad laws and correct them.
Yeah.
So that's basically all it was. It's just like, and again, it's like a 200-page opinion, so I'm sure they're very detailed on it, but it's not, I think the whole thing is just, it's not so much that there's some new law, it's just saying the Roe decision itself was just bad. It's bad. It was, they were legislating it. It was legislation. It's a very, very sneaky way to get whatever you want in the debate on it by going through legislation.
Yeah.
Sorry for the crickets.
Oh, it's okay, dude. Loud. We're all hanging. It's a Friday, 4th of July night, dude. We're hanging out. It's cool.
I can't see the chat, so if I'm getting roasted in the chat.
You're not getting roasted, dude. Don't know. But so that's a thank you, because I keep hearing that, right? Like, they're like, oh, they're going after gay marriage and contraceptive next. And I was especially confused by contraceptive. And now you, so they were fighting it so no state could ban it. Now,
yeah, so yeah, so them going after contraceptives is them because the contraceptive opinion, the decision for to make sure the contraceptives are, you know, can't be outlawed. It's very other similar wishy-washy legal reasoning. So they're scared, they're nervous that these things might be overturned because it's like all of a sudden they're like, holy shit, the jig is up. Like they're calling us out for these horrible legal decisions. Right. So again, I don't even know. I mean, it's 2022. I don't know if any state would come out right and ban birth control or, you know, condoms or, you know, like whatever we're going to do. Even the morning after pill, which I guess is technically similar. Like, I don't know. But the debate now, what you should be doing is you should be going to states that might consider doing that and try to make your point and try to say why, instead of saying the Supreme Court's going to be a battering ram, right? We're going to use the court as a battering ram to get what we want, cut off all debate. Now it's like you have to go and actually make sure the people through their state representatives, you got to convince their hearts and minds. You can't just so it's a good thing. So I mean, and the reason they're so scared is because they realize that they got a bunch of liberal horseshit through on bullshit legal reasoning.
Yeah,
you know, which is again just another example of the left hijacking the plight of not like minorities. Black folks, like former slaves, like the history, the precedent of constitutional law is development. It was a lot. Most of it was slavery, especially anything from like the 1800s through 1960s. The major, because that's where the biggest disconnect was between what the federal government allowed. Because again, you got to remember, like back in the day, there used to be federal territories. So it's not just like, so when the Constitution, before the 14th Amendment, the Constitution didn't even really apply to the states, right? But it did apply to the vast amounts of federal land that was managed by, you know, Yukon or California territory, that stuff. So it made sense. But once the federal government really became the over, and that was a slow march towards, you know, really a horrible where we are now to where Congress should not have as much power as it does over the states, but they've used little things like the Commerce Clause or little ways to make sure that they have jurisdiction. They're jurisdiction over the states, right? Interesting. Because back in the day, before the Civil War, it was the way it was phrased was, you know, you're going to say this country we live in is a great place. You would say before the Civil War, you said the United States are a great place to live. After the Civil War, it became the United States is a great place to live. So it's just a subtle way of seeing kind of how it used to be more states' rights is a dirty term, right? But it's really it's what we should be. It's what really made America great again back in the day. But through hijacking Supreme Court precedents and giving more power, broader interpretation to federal Congress, and especially the boom of the executive branch, which is the agencies, right? Mm-hmm. There was a huge one, Supreme Court, I didn't read the opinion or anything, but them saying that agencies don't have the right to do something regarding climate change, right? It limits the, Obama came out crying and limited the EPA's ability to do something.
Yeah.
No, that's great. It's saying, hey, like we're back. That's the same thing with the decision overturning Roe. It's the Supreme Court backtracking massive amounts of federal power, whether it's through the judiciary branch with Roe or through the executive branch of this other EPA decision. It's their way of getting this federal nightmare a little bit back up from us. So it's a good thing. It's a very beautiful thing. But
well, so how we were just talking about like getting upset over, because like I think the statistics are like 97% of abortions, they are done in like the first trimester, and then the amount that like are done with like to save the woman's life is like 0.015, like something ridiculous. And so again, like people are in the streets screaming and twerking and protesting in the way they protest these days. And it's like, dude, the amount of people you could probably count on one hand that actually like, or, you know, maybe not that small, but a very small portion of that you, it's like, and both sides are doing it, but especially the left, it's like, dude, you guys are like acting like these things happen every day. Like incest isn't very common in America. I don't know where you think what world you live in, or you know, all the, I don't know. I just, it's just another thing to get people screaming.
Well, that one's in my opinion, that's kind of easy to be explained by when you want to take that, they have to play up the most emotional aspect of it, the most, like, because they you know, our ideological opponents, they're not honest people. They're not going to come out and say, listen, man, we want to have, you know, we like being able to sleep around, like, you know, get drunk and then, you know, I don't want to just get rid of this baby and not feel guilty about it. That's what we want. That's what we want to do. But they're not, they don't say that. They're going to come in and they're going to say, oh, the rape victims or the 12-year-old girl who's molested. They're going to use the most sympathetic things that are hard to argue against.
Yeah.
When in reality, that's what they really want. They want to be able to do whatever they want, consequence free, and not feel guilty about it. Not be shamed about it. And I think the big reason we are where we are is because we got away from kind of shaming people, like kind of shaming degenerate behavior instead of just videoing it and then saying, oh my God, this is terrible. You know, seeing some weird thing, all the shit that happened last month, some of that weird stuff, and just getting up and screaming like, the fuck is this? You know, people like shaming this, because nobody wants to speak up, and nobody wants to get side-eyed glances anymore. You know what I mean? But.
And that's why I think, dude, like, you can make like a valid point that they are trying to bring like this like demonic or like whatever, you know, whatever Canaanite type, because we want to live without any morality. And so that's why I truly believe that, because you can see this line from even, I think, like, I liked your 9/11, like that, things since 2001 that would never have been acceptable are now championed. And that's being brave to do this, or it's like you are living in two different worlds that they're not the same. And there's no way do they even look the same.
Yeah. It's like morality to many people, morality is now defined as like when your morality is defined by your politics, you know, you're very easily manipulated and swayed. Ooh, know what I mean? Like when you're, I'm a good person because I'm ideologically, I voted for Hillary and I'm a support women. You know what I mean? I want to support women's rights. But instead of kind of being, and I'm not even that good of a person, to be honest, but I'm not out here saying I am.
Right.
And I mean, I just leave me alone. That's what I want. But like, I can admit that I have, like, whatever, but the people on the other side, they can't admit it and they got to hide it. And there's a massive shift of, like, have you ever tried to tell them, like, if they make a mistake or whatever, and you try to correct the mistake, and you're being super nice, right? You're just being, trying to be helpful. And instead of them trying to learn why they made the mistake and make sure they don't remedy it again, they'll tell you, oh, this is why I did that. This is why I did what I did. Oh, I thought when I did what I did, this is what I was thinking. And they're more interested in justifying why they weren't wrong to do what they did instead of making sure they weren't wrong again. And I think that's kind of a very prevalent thing, to where it's, you know, like it's hilarious. You see people come out and say, I'm a Catholic, but I love baby murder. You know, it's like, well, okay, hold on now. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, you have to sacrifice a little bit. But people, it's their adherence to their, there's no objective morality more. It's all subjective morality.
Well, I like the quote, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And that's like what, you know, what we're at right now. But to change,
Not us.
Hey, all right. Nothing. Hell yeah. I want your take on the Ukraine war. And so I'm trying to pull up this quick, I thought I bookmarked it, maybe I liked it, but so basically they're NASA, like, did a they took a photo or whatever of Ukraine, and they showed which crops, like which air, and so basically what the point was that, like, the
look
wheat,
at the destruction.
Basically, like, all the big areas of wheat, barley, all like the summer crops that's by Ukraine, they're controlled in territories by Russia now. So and they're what they're alluding to is there's going to be massive food shortages in the coming. So what's your take on that and like the whole all of the Ukraine war and those kind of things?
Total horseshit. Like I don't think it's real. Sorry. I mean, whatever. But I was paying very close attention right when it broke out. And I don't think I haven't seen a media push like that in a long, long time. Like the pro-Ukraine thing, like the like both Fox News and CNN were banging the drum. And I still haven't seen like any like troop movements, or I haven't seen any video of like an actual battle. I've just seen like interviews of like dudes being like, "Oh, it's very bad here. Oh, it's please send more money." And it's just an endless. I don't think it's real. But so I mean, I could see them. I could see NASA, who I don't trust them very much either. But I could see them. If there is a coming food shortage, that it ain't because of that, right?
Yeah.
Because of other shit. It's because of geoengineering or whatever. It's because they're burning down all these other things. So, but they're kind of maybe planting a seed so they can blame.
Oh yeah.
Upcoming food shortage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I still remember. You remember last year? Was it last year? Last year when the South, like I live in the South, right? And in the South and in Tennessee, Arkansas, and Texas, and the South, deep South got like blast, Oklahoma, and I didn't say like a lot of places, Missouri got blasted with like a foot of snow. You remember? I don't know if you remember that.
The chaos.
The Texas blizzard. Yeah. It happened. Yeah. It happened in here too. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm in Memphis, so I'm in Western Tennessee. So it happened here as well. Let me tell you, man, my dog, like, you know, after it froze, that was some unnatural snow. It was not natural snow. I actually still have some in my freezer, not to be honest. I took some, I was like, put in a bag. I was like, there's some weird, we ever need to get something tested down the road, I've got it here. Swear to God. But it wasn't, my dog actually, like, it tore up his feet from walking on it once it froze. Like, it wasn't natural. And it didn't melt. It just sat there forever and ever and ever. And so, I mean, I don't know how that's affected crops. I mean, a foot of that shit dumped all over, you know, food-producing areas of the country could be real detrimental to the soil if it was, you know, God only knows. So, but if a food shortage would absolutely be on brand for we're in that crisis phase. They want one world government, man. I'm just going to come out and say it. They want one world government. They want it. That's so bad. I think that really we're in the push towards it. And they just got to hit us with one thing after another.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, like, again, we got, cause you know, that cabalistic shit. We can't, like, we have to willingly give up our rights. We have to willingly give up power. They can lie to get us to do it, but we have to willingly give it up, you know, in order for their witchcraft to really take effect.
Well, so I think, you know, no, I get, so, dude, I totally agree. And the food shortages that I know they're coming, you know, I think we already talked about inflation's crazy high. There's all those food places burning down, the like video of those cows dying in like Kentucky or whatever. But the best way to give up rights is if you, luckily America, I think we export like 22% of our total food production, but most countries in like South of Africa they import all of their, like most of those countries, they don't grow their own food, which is insane, first of all. But then South America as well, I think Brazil is the only one. So what I think they're trying to do is create this food shortage, and especially in these like third world countries. And where do you think those people are going to go when they don't have food? They're not just going to wait around. They're going to come to America and Europe. And it's going to be like, if anyone thinks the border's bad now, just wait. If there is a food shortage where millions, if not hundreds of millions, of people can't get food, they're coming, dude. They're coming.
And then, yeah, get ready to be told that you are literally killing people. You are starving people to death because you don't want a massive influx of people from starving people from third world country. You are sentencing them to death by starving to death because you're not trying to do it. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they were talking about the great climate change, you know.
Oh, and that'll fit perfect shifts. In. Perfect.
Same thing, yeah. So, I mean, I think that if they're just blaming shit on Russia while they can, you know, and then once that kind of dies out, then they must know that people don't give a shit about climate change right now when you're paying $5-6 for a gallon of gas.
Right. Right.
It's so funny. They're marching out their just the way the media taught them pundits talk about like inflation now, as opposed to like, imagine if it was 40 years ago, when we were going through the same thing. And it's a mix of between, it went, obviously, I mean, this is a meme. It went from being like, there's no inflation, to right, there's a little inflation, you won't see it, to being like, there's inflation, blame Russia. And now, you know, it's just boom, 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 incrementally. And here we are. But it's shit, man. Like, dog food cost me twice as much now than it did the 2 years ago. Like, little thing, like, it's unsustainable, this inflation. But it's the pundits and talking heads are so desperate to not blame it, not have people blame anything on Biden or the Democrats. Democrats have all the control, right? They got control of the House, Congress. They're the cock of the walk. But shit sucks, right? Shit is objectively worse now for everybody. Like, people's rent is getting raised. Like, on, like the poor people who they say they care about, obviously they don't, but people are really hurting right now in a lot of different ways. And they don't give a shit, but they don't want them to blame it on, you know, the midterms coming up. And I guess, you know, cheating is going to be a lot more difficult this time without all the mail-in ballots. So they're a little bit worried about it. So,
that's what's like so upsetting thing is, like, you know, thank goodness, like, my wife's a nurse and I have a good job, but like, I feel bad and I can walk to work, but there's all these people. Like, my dad was buying furniture and this lady was driving 50. It's like out in the boonies of Pennsylvania. She's driving 50 minutes one way to get to work, to sell furniture, to probably make, like, you know, 35, 40 grand a year. Like, these people, dude, they're losing everything. And we're talking, and, you know, like, do you think they care that Roe v. Wade got overturned? Do you think they care what's going on in Ukraine? Like, we have millions of Americans that can barely get by, and you're just saying, oh, well, you got to suck it up for Ukraine's freedom.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But like, but the rich, you know, the rich white liberal, like, does not give a fuck. Like, they're fine. Like, you know, well, if you live in Manhattan and, you know, you take the subway, what do you care how much gas costs? You don't give a fuck. Right. You know, like, or if you if you're driving a Tesla, you know, like, people, and then there's no sympathy for the people who are really being affected by it. Just like there's no sympathy when all the factories in middle America closed, you know, people want to talk about, like, why Trump got elected. Trump got elected because, like, towns are dying. The globalization failure hurts America. It sucks. It's a horrible thing. And, like, a lot of different reasons, but, like, big one was Mexico and China. It wasn't like, I hate the people. It was like, you're stealing our jobs, man, our manufacturing jobs. Like, you used to be able to support a family on a blue collar manufacturing job. Now all those went overseas or down south. And in comes the queen's heroin, and he gets everybody addicted to, you know what I mean? And these towns are dead. And so it's just another way, man. It's just another way to, same thing with the rise of, like, all the, you know, delivery, Amazon, all this stuff, like, mom and pop stuff can't survive. It's all part of it. It's all part of a way to just,
agree. You know, dude,
it sucks.
What's your take? Like, so I love how, like, national, being a nationalist is only viewed, it's a negative term. If someone calls you a nationalist, you know, they're making implications about you. And it's crazy how they've, like, psyoped our country to think, like, oh, we should care about, you know, Chinese people that are jumping off of their work factories or whatever. But to think about your own country and your fellow countrymen, that's like a racist move, or that's a, I don't know, you know, the implications when you say you're a nationalist, but that was an amazing psyop that they were able to take over everybody. And because, like, now people would be scared to say, oh, I'm a nationalist. That's a very small percent, even on the right as well. You know, like, they're afraid to say
big
that.
Dog. Yeah, there's that one color you put before that people are so scared of that, you know, oh my God, can't, that's a whole nother. But it's, I mean, yeah, because there's traditionally one demographic group that, like, is more, values, like, liberty, you know? Like, if people who might be considered nationalists also probably have, like, might be more likely to be religious or even, like, Christian, evangelical. Yeah. I mean, you remember the West Baptist Church?
Westboro Baptist.
That fucking psyop that I mean, how easy was that little George Soros operation? You just hire a bunch of fucking shitty leftist activists to go to soldiers' weddings and protests, and all of a sudden people are saying, like, if you're Christian, you're Westboro Baptist Church. But we didn't, you know, that was at the time a lot. I'm sure a lot of people were saying it, but we weren't as savvy at picking up on psyops.
Yeah, they're feds.
We are now. Yeah. Total feds. Total. Man, God. But it's so easy. But now people equate. Now Westboro Baptist Church, it becomes the media manipulated thing to equate with. Nationalists. You get people to equate things because you highlight the absolute worst of something. People don't even talk about, like, skinheads or, like, racists anymore. Now you're a white supremacist. Like, what? But it's a way to, you know, shift it. It's been doing it for a long, long time. And you know, people have been very scared to speak up, very scared to speak out. A lot of reason, man. You mean if you speak up, speak out, you are going to lose something. Like it's whether it's status, money, family. People are going to talk shit about you behind your back. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people watching right now. You talk about it all the time. Like, you know, you all of a sudden you wake up, you're like, oh my God, like 9/11. It wasn't real. And back in the day, I would go on Facebook and be like, wow, look, guys. And then everybody's like, you fucking psycho. And like, people are, and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And you start to realize the pushback against it. So, I mean, it's for a lot of people, it's just not worth it to kind of spend time and look at the machinations of the enemy until it gets to the point where they're at fucking, you know, school board meetings and they're talking about why it's okay to teach kindergartners about anal sex and homosexuality. Now, you didn't see it creeping up a long time. You kept your mouth shut and you played along and you went along to get along for a long, long time. And boom, now you're trying to be defensive about it from a very rough angle, from a rough
position.
You didn't stop it. Like, it was death by 1,000 cuts, and you didn't stop it on the second one, and now you're trying to stop it on the 900th one, right?
Right. So far behind, dude. You're already like off the cliff. You're like holding on by a finger now, trying to pull up, as opposed to before you were standing on it. And you're right. People are terrified to. And I think that's kind of
collective morality has changed too. So like we know, like you know, in this fight against degeneracy, we've lost like the collective morality part of it. We've lost the ability to of society shaming people and being like, what the fuck? It went from gay prides, whatever, do your thing. Tolerance used to mean not beating the shit out of somebody.
Right.
You know, it's very much changed.
That's a
Norm MacDonald line. I got to give him credit. Rest in peace, Norm. But like, that's what it used to mean. Now, like the takeover, but like back in the day, like the things that, again, it's, things you see on social media that I'm not gonna attend a gay pride parade, and I hope if I ran across one by accident I wouldn't see these things. But if you go on social media, you're gonna see pictures of these odd people, right? Just flaunt, you know, like head to toe, like wearing nothing or flashing kids or what, having no regard for any sort of like decency, right? Just the idea of public decency, like, you know, like the hypersexualization in front of kids and all that shit. And like, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, that wouldn't have been tolerated. People would have been like, get this, get this out of here. Like, it would be, people would be more comfortable being outspoken against it. Now, the people that are like against it, they're scared of being outspoken because so many people are okay with it or don't mind it or whatever. And it's playing defensive, man. And it's going to take. And it started, I mean, it was a slow burn just in my life, you know, participation trophy generation. But also, you know, the kids that can't wear a bicycle without a helmet. There's little things like that just can't came up over time where it was kind of like, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Well, you know, I guess, you know, what, there's Boy Scouts, there's Girl Scouts, but I guess, you know what? You know, I think boys should be allowed to have Boy Scouts, but it's not worth my time to be like, oh, whatever, to speak up against it. And now they got rid of Boy Scouts. Guy can't have just Scouts, right? Boys can't have anything for just boys. And it's just in this little thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, now your school's textbook says that all white people are evil. And like, you know, and your teacher's telling your son that he's a little girl, you know, like, it's,
well, I heard surprise. it was another good quote. It was like, you will all the people like just to like the mindset, you know, 20 years ago is just leave me alone. And that will always lose to someone who is on the offensive. Like you will lose if you're saying like, I don't want to get involved. You will lose because they're actively coming for, and you, and now it's like at a point where you do see like a revival though of like, you know, the media calls it Christian nationalism or whatever. It's terrifying. It's sweeping the nation. But, and I also wonder, is that also a ploy too, to create more extremists on both sides? And then you can point your finger and say, see, this is why it's dangerous, because you're radicalizing so many people.
I think that label extremist is tossed around. I'm not, you know, trying to insult you or anything, but like by calling somebody an extremist who just is against, you know, somebody who's willing to speak up, speak out, point fingers, shame, do something about the onset push. I don't think that they're extremists. I think they're just passionate. But I don't know, Jackie, probably it's, I mean, you gotta, the key is look at the New York Times article and look and see how many inflammatory adjectives they use in the first paragraph. And if like, I swear to God, like any sort of piece, like if you want to know the veracity of it and just kind of see how much propaganda is this? And it will just say the unhinged debunked conspiracy theory that an insane extremist. And it's just like, oh, okay. I see it. It's like all the adjectives that he used. It basically anything about, you know, back in the day that it's the 17, like the articles that would be about 17 got more and more progressively like that. But it's, you said something really interesting, is that like, people don't, not speaking up. Oh shit. What did you say? Like your point?
I said, you'll lose. If you just want to be a left, you'll lose. You will lose to the,
it's because the people that you're going against, like, oh, I'm just, no, man. Yay. That libertarian bullshit. Oh
yeah,
man.
Right.
Smoke if you get, what, be cool, man. I don't care if you're having gay sex on the street, man. Just peace. No. Yeah. Like, it's like, well, people, you gotta understand, the people going against you know that about you, and they're figuring out ways to manipulate your naivety, right? Mm-hmm. You're naive. Like they're not. You think you're dealing. The people who are pushing all this shit are not honest people. They're not. They're lying. They're like I said earlier, like the 0.000 whatever of people who have rape victims for abortions. No, they want to have consequence free sex and then murder a baby and not feel guilty about it. Like, but they're never going to say that. No. Same thing with this. They're gonna prey on you. Not don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want to get my wife mad. She's had two glasses of wine. She'll blow up. So I'm going to be a little pussy and not, you know, just let my girlfriend walk all over me. Like, let's be honest. It happens. I know you've seen a lot. It happens a lot. You know, it's okay, honey. Because I've been in social situations where I'm just being me and just, you know, just being me. And people, like, it bothers people so much that, like, I'll say something that they eventually, some drunk liberal chick will end up screaming at me and her boyfriend. She'll storm off and say, this is more back in the day, like arguing about Trump or something.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, but she'd storm off and then her husband would, oh, he'd walk away. And then everybody's like, way to go, Brian. Way to go, Brian. You ruined the class reunion, bro. It's like, I didn't say insult her at all. I didn't say anything insulting. Yeah. Not my fault. This bitch can't control her emotions. And that because she is willing, and ladies, I'm not trying to insult you, but people are okay with emotional outbursts. That's why, like you said, the people are twerking for freedom and all that shit. People are okay with like emotional outbursts. It's okay for me to something like that might not even concern you. Again, I'm not saying abortion doesn't concern women, but
I understand what you're saying.
Emotional outbursts, we got okay with them. And then a lot of guys, instead of being like, bitch, you better calm down, and kind of like shaming her for losing her cool, they get mad at somebody like me. He's like, oh, you know, Brian's just, I just can't handle him. And then, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just, you know, he's... Well, I'll never forget, man. I remember, this is a funny story. I remember it was like 2016. Like, and I was vocal about like voting for Donald Trump in 2016.
Yeah, right.
I was like, I dug it, man. I dug it. I would take that shit. I would take it. I would kind of welcome it in a lot of ways. And then whatever. still welcome it in a lot of ways, because I'm not ashamed for believing what I believe or doing what I believe. Yeah, you know?
That's fair.
If I'm wrong, prove me I'm wrong. But otherwise, I'll never forget this girl, friend of mine, former friend of mine, I haven't talked to her since. We're literally sitting there, and it's like, I think it was December. So the election was in November 16. I think it was December 16. So people were still, you know, they were still marching. There's the whole trying to Russia hacked the election. That whole thing was going on. They really overturn it. And I'll never forget something. Somebody asked me, like, Brian, why did you vote for Trump? And I just told him, I was like, oh, man, I'm not a big fan of, not a big fan of globalization, exporting our jobs, unfettered immigration. I don't like it. I don't like whatever. And this girl looks at me. We're sitting by a campfire, maybe like 8-10 people. I was very reasonable. And she just looks at me and she's like, you voted for him because you hate women. And it was just, I was like, bitch. Like, I've never talked to her since that day. And never, you know, and it was, I mean, we were friends, but like acquaintance, I don't know if it'd be cool or not, but it's just like, how, where do you even, when they're going to react like that, where do you even start?
That's like part of the trickery too, or like the psyop. Like, so you used to be afraid, like, you know, whatever, the fear was communism. So we hated the Soviets, and then they brought it home here with like serial killers and, you know, all serial this killers. Violence starts happening, whether that was the CIA or
satanic
not, probably
panic,
was
shit like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then we just keep, and now, so now you're viewing your neighborhood as sketchy, and now they've made the final push with politics and families. So you're just disconnecting people from any sense of, like, you know, camaraderie or family, and like you're breaking apart each step of the defense. So now we're truly all just by ourselves. And I think it's all part of this trick to just to make you feel so alone that you're worshiping the government pretty soon.
Yeah. 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 And to instinctively get people to, if they might disagree with my ideas, your ideas, your politics, my politics, they made it. Oh, my dog might start barking here. They made it so that you just get rid of if the person's not going to bow to your ideology, you just get rid of the person out of your life. I mean, you see it a lot with families, like, you know, a lot of it with Trump, people just out of my life, sister, out of my life, brother, out of my life, dad, my dad's a conspiracy. Okay, you remember, you remember all those posts that we used to see, like, my dad supports Kavanaugh. He's dead to me. Like, really? Like, what are you really? But that's the thing, is that it's again, when your morality is tied to your ideology, you're not going to listen to somebody's opinion that, you know, I can explain what I want to explain, you know, talking to normies or whomever. Like, I'm able to articulate it. Hey, come here. But they're not, if your morality is tied to your ideology, you're not going to listen to somebody who might be able to poke holes in that ideology. That ideology is wrong, because they're saying you're a bad person. They can't agree with anything I say, because it's basically saying I'm a bad person, you know?
I liked your battering ram with the Supreme Court. That was a nice visual. I like this morality tied to ideology. That's like a nice, that's exactly it though. Nailed it with that. But did you come up with that?
I did.
Dude, that's a beautiful, that's exactly what, if you are on this side, you're an honest, virtuous, kind person. And if you, no matter what you think, if you're on this side, you are an evil, racist, whatever.
That's why you don't see anybody, like, I hate the time, as you do, like, on the left.
Yeah.
You don't see any of them saying, hey, enough with this, like, alphabet agenda, you know, like, for the past month. Like, you don't see any pushback really from them. They're okay with it going. They're okay with the story hours. They're okay with it in schools. Blah, blah, blah. There's no pushback from their side, because, again, they think they're good people for supporting gay rights, for, you know, supporting that. So they're never going to actually consider whether or not they're being duped, deceived, used for something else, for a bigger purpose, agenda, because they support gay rights. And that means everything that it entails. And so we're saying, hey, man, support what you want, but also you got to understand what's happening here, the way they're using you, the way they're using your emotions. And they ain't trying to hear that. They ain't trying to hear that, because they are good people, because they support.
And it also helps to even inflate your, like, your base, because now anyone who's weak, who's afraid they're going to be called out, who's afraid that They're going to be called names. They're just going to, you know, they just want to go along and be liked, you know, weak people, like people who lack confidence and everything. They just fall into that group because it's scary to be on the other side against, you know, 30 people with blue hair yelling at you on Twitter. It's much nicer to be on their side and say, yeah, get that guy, you know, because, yeah.
Absolutely. Or on Facebook, like a big one is Facebook. Like, I remember back, I haven't been on Facebook in years, but back when I was on it, like before in the summer of 2016, trying to be like, hey guys, this is, look at what's in, insert whatever issue here. Right. Hey guys, look at this. And I get two likes, and some snarky liberal asshole, it was always the same few, would come in and make some reply, and that gets 70 likes on Twitter and on Facebook, right? So it just, even it's the same thing. It's like, it makes people little wallflowers. And I don't know if that's just, I had a majority of liberal friends on Facebook, probably. I don't know, maybe. Or if it was just kind of the algorithm or whatever. But any way they can get people, any way they can silence people who are willing to suffer the slings and arrows of speaking out, any way they can silence you, whether it's banning you, whether it's self-censorship, whether it's us getting, you know, IR people in your life to ostracize you, they're going to do it. They're going to do it because, you know, it's, you know, if they can't beat us, get rid of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then once they take over, we're going to be sent to the gulag. So we're going to silence that way. Like, it is what it is, you know?
True.
We just can't let it get there, you know?
So here, my last question, you're more optimistic, I think. Where do we go from, what happens to America?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many different ones. I mean, I still...
Well, do you think
I've got bigger ideas about a possible some shit that might be going on, right, that might be ongoing.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna get into it here. Like, we've talked about it before. It's you don't think so, that's totally fine. So I mean, I still have my hope of hopes that there's a covert military operation ongoing underground that's taking over, right? Fighting in the dumb. I still hope that. And I have some very interesting things on that front that I won't get into here. But And to take that out of it, and I'm encouraged that. Sorry, my dog.
Being oh, cold. Dude, it's okay.
Oh, hold on.
That was smooth as hell, dude. He just threw a frisbee like damn far behind his back. So that was impressive.
I've been throwing a frisbee for a long time, but I'm confident that people are waking up. I do like the fact that people, I feel like now more than ever, you know, for lack of a better term, normies are kind of wondering, like, this is just too much to be a coincidence. You know, this is just too much. There's some shit going on. And I feel like that might be happening, you know, whether or not it's enough, I don't know. But I'm encouraged because, like, it's, dude, I like, the enemy's not, they're not fooling me. You know what I'm saying? They're not, I mean, I'm never going to believe that if just this food shortage happens, that it was caused by Russia or that it was just had the climate change, right? They're never going to get me to do that.
Yeah.
So in a way, like, you can't, you got to know they're going to do everything they can to destabilize us and just kind of roll with it, but also hope and, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting time, man. I think the Illuminati's making their push for one world government.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, but I don't think things aren't working as much. I'll tell you, I think they're not as far along as they wanted to be by now. It's like the mandates, thing, like that didn't really work in America, right? They wanted it to. It should have. We were supposed to be so scared, you know, that we all got it and we all supported it and whatever,
right?
But it didn't happen. So that's good. You know, whether they're going to try again with something new or what, I don't know. But so we kind of fall back against that. And so I do think it's great that a lot of people are awake. People are willing to fight. People are willing to, you know, more people see the bullshit than ever.
Like, I totally agree with you.
Even with like the Uvalde, right? Like, A lot of people who normally wouldn't be down for like other things, right? Like, you're looking at it being like, is this a fresh fish operation? like thinking in that terms, which is where my mind goes now automatically, right? I'm like, oh, this stinks. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Like more people were willing to look into and ask and think we're being lied to about this. And so as long as people continue to do that, but again, are we too far gone? I don't know. I know you want us to dissolve America and make it a monarchy or something.
I do. Yeah. All hail the king.
Who's going to be the king?
I haven't decided yet.
We're going to vote for the king.
No, I want either a
you know, you know how the king gets power. Power struggle, right? So you want to it's going to make a bloody war.
Well,
a huge war.
I think maybe if everyone just listened to my podcast, they'd agree with me, and then we wouldn't need a bloody war.
We'll get on that. We'll get right on that.
Well, Brian, where can people, you're a harder man to find now. Where can they find you and all that stuff?
I'm on Twitter. I'm new to Twitter, you know, but it's BJ calls BS. And let's see what else I'm on. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter. And there's on Instagram, it's Brian James ESQ. But dude, I'll tell you what, like when you get, you know, it's so hard to keep your branding consistent. Dude. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't say, I want everywhere this. And it's like, okay, I'm this one, I'm this. And then let's see so BJ calls BS on Twitter. And I'll announce any future things there. So.
Yeah. Well, dude, you're such a good, I told you this before. Some people have this ability on Twitter. Like they're great at, I am not great at writing tweets, but you are very good at writing tweets. You have the humor down, you have the right. So I hope you get, I know maybe the third time's the charm, dude, maybe.
I get it. He has 3 million impressions, man.
I know, dude. And that's just insane.
Monthly.
Right.
Now that wasn't even, the one from 2020 was even bigger, but you know, so it's a grind, but we'll see. But again, it's also kind of like, the reason I got so popular on Twitter, and thank you for that, is I try to be optimistic, try to personalize it. Like I'm never trying to like tell people what to think. I'm just telling them what I think, and like they can kind of like agree with it. And I have a unique way of looking at a situation that people are like, oh, I didn't necessarily think of that. So, you know, people have questions. We can't get answers from, you know, anybody that's supposed to be giving us answers anymore, whether it's officials, journalism, you know, everybody's a paid shill, everybody's right. A psyop. Right. But I think what we can do is people can kind of take a step back and look at things on their own and stepping apart from like the political narrative. Step away from the political narrative and look at like the facts of the case, or the human narrative, or try to look at a different perspective. Because otherwise, if it's always a political narrative and it's boom, 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 constantly, you're just going to be bombarded and you're going to feel defeated. It's going to really weigh on you. So that's I think that's why I was popular until they banned me and then I got all depressed. And so whatever, I'll be back. But
well,
BJ calls BS or Brian James ESQ on Instagram, I think.
I'll find it on your Instagram.
Yeah, so. Man. And once I get my new setup, sorry about the noise, my dog and all that
stuff.
Dude,
that was great.
Yeah, I've got a bomb camera and a beautiful mic and all this great stuff. And so once I get that set up, but I can't use it right now because I told you my computer's doing something. We'll come back on again, man. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, absolutely, dude. So thank you for saving the day, dude, because I wasn't going to do a show. So I appreciate it. I'll put all your links in the show notes. Everybody, I'll be on live tomorrow with The realities are is at 8 p.m. So if you want to stop in then. But thanks for joining everybody. All Brian's fans, I think you guys made up the chat. So thank you. Have a great holiday.
Yeah? Yes. Shout out to my fans because I haven't seen the chat.
Your friend,
shout out to the homies.
Kitty says there. Hello.
Shout out to Kitty. I knew Kitty would be here. That's an OG right there from the Periscope
love it,
days.
Dude.
That's my girl.
Well, all right, guys. We'll see you later. Bye.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Jack.
Oh, yeah.